Lord. Now, I got to be honest with you. I missed the whole instruction that the choir was to sing that thing for the first one. So you all probably got that. My mind's in other places. So I just sang with them. I didn't even know it. But that's an easy tune to get, isn't it? Man, I like that song. I really like that song. It is, boy, it's a joy to be back here with our family. I say you dear folks, but our family here at Waynesboro Bible Church. And can I just say something? I really mean this. Please don't stop doing these missions conferences. Please don't stop doing them. You know, there are fewer and fewer of these happening all over. It's really quite sad, but I happen to think maybe God still wants to raise up a missionary right from within this congregation. Maybe God wants to raise up another pastor from within this congregation. He did it already, didn't he? Right? God knows what he's doing, but how will they know if we don't do it? Right? And so, you know, these things are just amazing. And, you know, I go back to when Kathy and I first surrendered to missions. It was at a missions conference. We first surrendered to ministry at a missions conference. And so you never know how God will use things like this to touch people's hearts. And we know firsthand. Kathy sends her love. Our son, you pray for him, Frank. He has been sick now for about a month. We have had him to the doctors numerous times. He had to go back again this past week. He was starting to get better the end of last week. But then over last weekend, he just kind of took a nosedive. And his asthma got all crazy. And I mean, it's just sent a whole other things into cycle. And he developed a very bad sinus infection. And so his pulmonologist and his regular doctor, family doctor, have all had to kind of get their heads together and change around his meds. And so this week has just been a rough week. Now, he's starting to take the mend, but his coughing is still bad from this drainage. And it just, he doesn't like to be, we don't want him around anybody when he's coughing like that. People think, oh, man, does he have COVID or something, you know, whatever. And so so just keep praying for him. And my wife told me, if I did not tell you this, that I would be in trouble. She is so thankful to come to your ladies' Bible study. Her and Tammy both. I would say that for Tammy too. You folks, that is such a blessing for them to be at. They love coming when they're here. They're able to come. And, you know, I asked her to go on a date the other day, and she said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to Bible study. Well, how do you say, you know, how do you answer that one, right? You know, you can't go wrong there, right? You can't, well, you know, so, and I want to just thank you again for your support of so many missionaries. You know, I was going down through that bulletin. I had it, must have left it down there. It's going down through that bulletin and just seeing all the different missionaries that you support and that you are making an eternal difference. I just want you to know that. You're making an eternal difference. And I have to tell you as well, I have so many things I have to tell you. Alicia knows that I'm here tonight. And I want to tell you something. That girl just loves you folks to pieces. And if you saw her Facebook post today, she had a picture of a lady that's out in this nasty weather, sleeping on the sidewalk, rain coming down, and it just broke her heart. And they've ministered to her, but last week, I think it was a week ago, we called and touched base. We touched base every day. And she said, Dad, I almost had someone die in my arms this week. And I said, tell me about it, honey. You know, she's 19, and I think about some of the things that she has seen at 19 years of age. Some people go to a combat zone and see some of these very same things. Limbs falling off, and just I can't even go into all the details. And she said, yep, she said, we were doing our chaplaincy going around, and this guy come running over to me and said, ma'am, you got to help us. This lady just is collapsing. She's dying. And so Alicia ran over and literally picked this lady up, got her on the thing there. And this lady just went from perfectly normal color to then went blue. She had stopped breathing. They were doing sternum rubs. They were doing everything they knew
that they were trained to do, and this lady is not responding. And she said, and I can't get this out of my head. I just can't even get this out of my head. She said, Dad, it was like I could see the enemy trying to pull her soul from her body. She said, that's the look that was on her face. It was sheer terror. It was sheer horror. And it was like I could visually see the enemy pulling her soul out of her body. And she said, we just began to pray. We dumped water all over. And then all of a sudden, she just came right back. Her color came back, and she jumped up, and she didn't even know. Now, I don't know, how did this happen? Well, ma'am, you overdosed. You did, you know, all these things. And sadly, that lady said, man, I got to go. I got places I got to be. And they told her, you know, ma'am, this was a chance. It might have been your last. Come to know Jesus. And that's the kind of thing that she deals with on a day-by-day basis. And your notes of encouragement, and you're just checking up on her, you don't know what that means to her as she is on the battlefield 24/7. So thank you for praying for them. Kathy and I want to thank you for your just continued, your love, your prayers, your financial support. This has been a very, very productive year ministry. It really, really has. And we've represented you as we have led different missions teams in different places here in the United States. And in 13 days, we'll take our last missions team of this year. And then we start preparing for you guys next year, right? And think about that. That all started because God got a hold of that guy right over there, Farmer Robert. I just shared about him again today in my morning message. You know, I talk about you a lot in my messages. This is how I talk about Robert. I say, man, I got this friend of mine. His name's Robert. He's a farmer guy. You know, can God use somebody like me? Well, yeah, Robert, God can use you. And I said, Robert's that guy that drives that big thing that you think you can drive under, but you can't. He's got it on film. I've seen it. A guy, you showed him that picture, right? I mean, so anyway, but he came back, and you remember what God did on that Sunday night we got here, and it was standing room only down there, right? Remember Pastor Darrell coming up in tears? God had gotten a hold of his heart, and he just began to kind of share some things and all that. Then a team of 15, I think it was. I think it might have been 15 people, 12 or 15 people that said, hey, man, Robert, look what God did in him. I want to go. And now we're going back again. Right? That's how God works, just using ordinary people to do an extraordinary work. People that just say, can God use me? Yeah, he can. Yes, he can. And so next 13 days, we're going to take our final team of this year down to Welch, West Virginia. Anybody heard of Welch, West Virginia? All right. And so if you know about Welch is in McDowell County, West Virginia. It is the southernmost county of West Virginia. You can't go any more south in West Virginia than McDowell County. And you know that at one time, probably back in the 40s and 50s, that as a matter of fact, McDowell County had a population of over 100,000 people just in McDowell County. Over 100,000 people. As a matter of fact, there were more millionaires in that county than anywhere else in the whole United States. Coal mining had just reached its boom there. And they had built the world's largest coal mine of the time. 21 stories high. I mean, it was just a massive coal machine. Today, the population's at about 17,500. When coal mining left, it just decimated those towns, and now they're boarded up, they're shut down, drugs and alcohol and family dysfunction abound, and it is here that we take the gospel. We're planning to take 360 Bibles down with us. These guys are amazing. That's, I said, what do you want us to bring? They asked us, please bring Bibles. And please, when you bring Bibles, bring us the King James Version super giant print. Not giant print. Super giant print. I mean, you can read them out here. Right? I mean, anybody can read them. And they love them. And we took down 50 last time we were there. We thought 50 would be enough. We ran out of 50 and still had so many people asking. They said, please bring us. So we came back and shared that burden with some folks. And they said, hey, we want to get behind this thing. And we raised enough money to take 360 Bibles. We're going to take 360 Bibles down there and hand out this coming next month. So you be praying for us there. And I tell you, it's just an amazing work. Think about it for a moment. You have a copy of the Word of God. You have a copy. Now, as a matter of fact, if you're like me, if you go to your house, you probably have more than one copy. You have more than most of this world has, you and I. And I probably have 10 or more copies laying around the house. There are literally brothers and sisters around this world that are not so privileged. I could tell you about brothers and sisters in North Korea who only have one page of Scripture. One page. And they got that from a balloon that was launched from South Korea over into North Korea that pops at a certain altitude and falls to the ground. And it contains the gospel, or a page of Scripture, the plan of salvation. And that is the only copy that they have. They gather in secret with the few scriptures that they have. I got something very special I want to show you. Oh, am I on here? There we go. Is that better? Am I on now? Is that good? Can you hear me? I brought something very special tonight. And it's in this bag. And this, what I have in here, is very fragile. So after the service, you can look at it, but you can't touch it, okay? Because it's very fragile. But I want to show it to you. It won't bite. Okay. It'll cut you, but it won't bite. This is a Bible. Feel the cover of that. It's wooden. Yeah, don't touch it. You can just look at it. No, well, but can you feel that? What date do you see on that?
Is that? 1850.
This Bible was in Corrie ten Boom's church. My daughter, when she was in Amsterdam, bought this in their museum. She paid a lot of money for it. This Bible is so old. It's from the Dutch Reformation. It could be as old, it's got a date here of 1815 on it, but if you open it up in here, I found a date that dates to the early 1500s. And the Dutch Reformation went on during that time. And this was in the great church of St. Bravo's in Harlem. And what's very unique about this Bible, I have to show you this. Where's my music, ladies? Here we are. What is so unique about this Bible, I have never seen this in a Bible anywhere. And I've been in the Bible Museum. Anybody ever been to the Bible Museum? Yeah, this probably should be in the Bible Museum, but I keep it at my house. But I want you to notice something. When you go to the middle, look at these pages. It's written in Dutch, so you and I can't understand. But what do you see about the Psalms?
They're all music notes.
The Psalms are written in music. Wouldn't you? You could probably play the tunes of these. Hint, hint. Right? I mean, I just find it absolutely fascinating that at a time when they interpreted their scriptures, they put the Psalms into music. Because guess why? The Psalms were music. Maybe these are the original tunes of the Psalms that were handed down
from generation to generation. And you and I have the privilege of having a copy of God's Word. Amen? We have a privilege. And I think about this. This is an old wooden leather cover. And if you look at it, you can look at it afterwards. It has wormholes all in this cover of worms, like little weevils that had gotten in over the years. That is an amazing book. And here's the thing. You and I have a copy of God's Word. And you know what? It was handed down to us from age to age to age to age, just like that, to where we have it today. Long before the words of Christ were ever written in red. Long before that, the Word of God was treasured. It was printed on printing presses. It was distributed one page at a time, one character at a time. Imagine that. And the Bible contains the good news. It's the gospel. It's the death. It's the burial. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an urgency to share the gospel. And the whole theme of this conference is a call to what? To harvest. A call to harvest. Jesus said the laborers are, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Folks, this evening, I want us to really kind of be reburdened for the plight of the lost. Be reburdened for the plight of the lost. And to help you and I understand the reality of what I mean, I want to share the following statistics with you. Now, I had my family help me with this because my gift is not numbers. And so, you know, I had to make sure that we did this right. And so we double-checked and rechecked and did all that. Now, I got to tell you, there are people much smarter than me that love facts and figures and numbers and statistics, and they spend their lives collecting data to give information to people. That's what's so neat about people like that. I don't want to think about stuff like that. I just want the end product. Give me the end result. If you want to figure it out, great. I don't. I just want to know the end. And these guys figured this out. That about 1.93 people die every second. 1.93 people die every second. That means about 115.8 people die every minute around the world. 115.8. Hang on with me. If I share for the next 45 minutes, that means in that time that we are having this meeting of church here in Waynesboro Bible Church, 5,211 people will die and enter eternity. Now think about this. There are how many minutes in a day? 1,440 minutes in 24 hours. That means, if you average out those other numbers, that means that 166,752 people will enter eternity today. Now, what is the eternal destiny of these people? Well, obviously, you and I don't know that number, but it's been estimated. It's only an estimate that only about 7% of the people in this world have accepted the biblical plan of salvation. Not by works, not by this, not by that. Grace through faith alone. And if that's true, then when you take out that 7%, that leaves us with 155,079.36 people dying and going to hell every day. Now, let's just say, that's just an estimate, but let's just say for the sake of argument that, you know what, 7%, that's low. But we know that it's not going to be too much higher than that, because narrow is the way that leads to salvation, right? Broad is the way that leads to destruction. So, but let's just say for sake of argument that's completely wrong. And let's just say that 70%. Now, I know it can't be 70%, but let's just say it was 70%. For the sake of argument, let's be gracious and say 70% of the world is going to heaven. Do you know what that means? That still means that 50,025 people are going to hell every single day. And that's if we're gracious. Clearly, there's still much that needs to be done in reaching the world. Amen? And the question is, what are you and I going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? So turn with me into your Bibles, into a passage of Scripture that kind of lays the foundation this evening. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And I want you to see something. Ezekiel chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 30 and 31. Ezekiel chapter 22. And I want you to notice verse 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. The question is, who is going to stand in the gap? And so the very first point that I just want to make tonight, just these are just really simple, simple points. Number one, the time is now. The time is now. Those statistics that I just shared with you represent real numbers of people that will die by the time I finish this message. And every single one of those people have a destiny. Every single one of those people represents a lost soul. The time is now. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22 again, verse 30, in the beginning of the verse. And the Lord said that he sought for a man among them. Listen to me. The Lord is coming. He is looking for men and women to rise up in this generation. He's looking for teenagers to rise up in this generation and to make a difference. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not even next year, but today. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And the question then becomes, is when are we as believers in this generation going to say enough is enough to the things that draw us away from God and his presence in our lives? And every second that slips by, someone dies and goes to hell. That could be a friend. It could be a co-worker. It could be a relative. It could be a mom or dad. It could be a brother or sister. Or it could have been the person, whatever happened out here in this accident. We don't know. I don't know. But things like that happen. And the harvest is ready. Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Go back to our theme verse. Luke chapter 10. Keep your hand there in Ezekiel. We'll be back there again. But Luke chapter 10, and I want you to notice verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Notice verse 2. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. As you know, we usually stop there, verse 2, but look at verse 3. This is what you and I signed up for, verse 3. Notice, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. In other words, what he's saying is, guys, it's not going to be easy street. You might die for me, but the time is now. The harvest is ready. The time is now. God is seeking men and women and teenagers to raise up, to rise up and answer the call. Could you be the next missionary? Could you be the next pastor? Could you be the very one that God uses you to reach that neighbor next door, that lost family member. You might never again feel what you're feeling right at this moment. The Holy Spirit may never prompt you again like He's prompting you right now. Listen to His bidding. The time is now. But notice secondly this evening, not only is the time now, but the cause is great. The cause is great. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 22 and notice verse 30. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 30. Notice what the Scripture says. To make up a hedge and to stand in the gap before me for the land. Now, we have to understand that in this purest context of what is being written, this is dealing with the nation of Israel. This is dealing with the nation of Israel. And we don't replace Israel with the church. We don't do that. This is talking to the nation of Israel. However, we can apply some principles that we learn for that nation and apply them into our own lives. Right? And notice what he says there. And this is the same principle that we can say of our land and our nation. Matter of fact, hold your hand there in Ezekiel and go to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah. Let's go back a couple books. Isaiah chapter 59. And notice what is said here. Isaiah chapter 59. And I want you to notice verse 14 and 15. These, again, these are familiar verses. You've read these before. But notice what it says. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands afar off. For truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased them, and there was no judgment. That there was no judgment. Couldn't that be said of America today? Hasn't truth fallen in the street today? Now, this message was for the nation of Israel. And the nation of Israel at this time was allowing evil to prosper. And they stood by and did nothing about it. It even got to the point where the nation had forgotten the very God that made them a nation. They'd forgotten that. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? How did we form as a nation? Godly men. Right? The cause is great. The numbers that I shared grow and grow with each passing second. When are we going to awake out of the slumber of our complacency and get our homes back in order again? When do we stand up against the wiles of the devil and fall on our faces as families before God and ask God to make us families who will make a difference in this world? Make a difference. When do we put aside our petty squabbles and differences of opinion that would distract us from the main thing, that is, that people are slipping into eternity with every second that goes by? And don't we sometimes get caught up in the things that really just don't matter? When are we going to stop flirting with the things of this world and stand for what is right, pure, and holy? Do you see the cause tonight? Do you see the need to do something? We can no longer sit back and be content with just doing church. God is calling folks all over the world to awaken out of our spiritual slumber and answer His call. Answer His call. You know, I'm reminded of the Israelites who were being attacked by the Philistine army. And nobody was doing anything about it. As a matter of fact, if you have a computer at home, I would challenge you to do this. When you get home or sometime this week, just Google in your search bar, just type in your search bar, whatever search engine you use, the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites with Goliath. Right? Remember that little valley that was there? Kind of the storybooks make it look like a little valley. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says that the entire Israeli army was on one side of the mountain. And there's the valley. And you can see actual footage of exactly where David killed Goliath. You can see the expanse of this valley. It is a big valley. And on the other side of that valley On the other side are the Philistines and their entire army encamped on that side of the mountain. This was a huge military campaign. This was not something small scale. Let's just send a few hundred guys. This is a massive military campaign. And David, this little shepherd boy named David, he was probably between 15 and 17 years old. That's about how old David was at this point. And he comes and he brought his brother some victuals. That's food, right? He brought him some victuals and his brothers who were supposed to be fighting and the Israelites were supposed to be fighting. And he gets there and he sees that this giant, this almost 10-foot giant named Goliath, blaspheming God and ridiculing the Israeli army. And what he notices is that nobody is doing anything about it. And this has been going on for 40 days. And nobody, they are just paralyzed by fear. And he says, you know what? This giant needs to come down. This giant needs to go out. Is anybody going to do anything about it? And his older brothers kind of overhear him and basically give him a tongue lashing. You need to get back to dad. You need to get back to the sheep. You need to get out of here. This is for men. You're just a boy. Get out of here. You're embarrassing us. You know how brothers are, right? Probably got a little stronger than that. And so David says, if you read the passage, and what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I mean, is there not a cause to do the right thing? Nobody's doing the right thing. Well, who's going to do the right thing? And David was saying that the cause is great. Let's do something. And listen to me. If people are going to hell every single second, then I would say we have a great cause before us. Oh, the time is now. The cause is great. And that brings me to my last point this evening. A response is necessary. A response is necessary. An old Irish politician named Edmund Burke said this. You've heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do what? Nothing. That was an old Irish politician named Edmund Burke who said that. You see, for you and I to walk out of this sanctuary this evening when the sermon is over and we sing the last hymn and we go out of this building and back into a world and nothing changes, God help us. God help us. How much does the Holy Spirit have to poke and prod on our hearts for us to see that He is calling for a response? How many more people will die and go to hell in order for us to wake up and respond? You know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but man, I got to just tell you something. I am so proud of this young couple right here, Dwayne and Zoe. I just can't even begin to tell you in the times that we met together before they were getting married, just to go over marriage counseling, the times that we were together and I would share the gospel and we would get into the word and we would go over things and I would say, Zoe, have you come to that place yet? Not yet, but I'm really thinking about it. I'm thinking this through. And one thing if you know about Zoe, she's a thinker. Her husband can be a stinker, but she's a thinker, right? No, not Dwayne. He's as tender as a big old teddy bear, just like his daddy. And man, I remember the night. So remember the night? Remember when we were sitting there to take? Remember that, Dwayne? I remember that night. She had shared with me that she had asked Jesus into her heart, right? Now, mom's here, right? Like, God just takes our lives if we're obedient, and He just uses us for His glory. That's how it happens, right? It starts in us, but we can't keep it to ourselves. If God's done a work in us, we can't keep it to ourselves. We got to tell the world. We got to share with others. And what a joy to know that the both of them got baptized together. Mother and daughter together. And now the rest of the family, the ones that still don't know Jesus yet, they're watching, Zoe. They're watching you guys.
They're watching how you live. They're watching the difference that God has made in your life. And they're coming. They're coming. Don't stop. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God is calling you to respond to his bidding. Stop believing the lie that God can't use you. Stop believing the lie that you've gone too far. Stop believing the lie that's just an emotional reaction to the message. Listen to me. Listen to me very, very closely. Let me speak a moment to those who might be here tonight and do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm in churches just about every week. Just because I'm in a church with other believers doesn't mean that everybody in the church knows Jesus. And we can't just assume that everybody does. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm speaking to you. You know who you are. Listen to me. You are not here by accident. Maybe the choices that you've made in life have brought you down a very troublesome path. I stand guilty. My life went down a very troublesome path. But not anymore. Maybe you're here and you've tried everything. Drugs, they didn't work. Alcohol, that just didn't work. Bad relationships, they didn't work. You name it, you've done it. And you find yourself here empty and wounded and hurting and wondering, what is my purpose? Why am I even on this planet? With the way things are going, what is the purpose to even live anymore? Let me just say this. God has a message for you. The Bible says in Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." God wants you to drink from the living water and wash your sin away so that you can be refreshed and renewed and be clean before him. Think about it. What would it feel like to have all of your sin, all of your burdens carried that you're carrying lifted and your sin forgiven? What would that feel like? Just taste and see. Just taste and see. Listen to me. I believe the Lord is calling every single one of us here to respond in some way. I would ask all of us, myself included, this message is not for you, it's for me. It's for me. Just because, listen, I'll be honest with you. People think, oh, you know what, he's in different churches and leading missions teams. Do you think it's not a struggle sometimes for me to get into the Word? There are days I choose to do something else and get into the Word. I'm just being honest with you. There are some days it's just a battle. There are some days I wonder, is anybody ever going to listen? Man, God, I blew it with my family today. I lost my temper with my children or on my son or whatever. Yeah, that's the reality. That's called life. That's called living in this world. But I want to tell you something. I want us to do some heart searching. Because every one of us needs to respond in some sort of way. The numbers that I share with you grow with each passing moment. Oh, how we need to be burdened for the loss so that it causes us to respond. Stand with me for a moment. I want you to listen to me. Pastor Zach, he needs your help in reaching the lost. He can't do it alone. Could you be someone that says, you know what, tonight I'm going to grab a hold of the rope. I'm going to get off the sideline. I'm going to grab a hold of the rope, and I'm going to help. I'm going to do whatever I can. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm not even so much even trained how to do it, but I'm just going to be available. And Pastor Zach, I'm going to follow you. If you follow Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Are you ready today to say, I want to do something about that number? I want to help reach the loss. I don't want to just sit back and go through the motions. I want to do something. It all starts by giving with whatever is left of the Lord, of your life, to the Lord. I don't know how much time we got left. Brother Larry, we've had this conversation. You know, I think about my dear brother there. Man, he's been through physical trials and ups and downs, and it's hard for him to drive at night now. You know, it's a hard thing. I think about many others that we've been connected to. I think about my dear sister back there who's going to be 90 years old this year. Can I just encourage you to keep running? Can I just encourage you to keep on shining Jesus to those who you are influencing? To the young boys that God brings across your path, to the young men that you teach how to tie flies to those that you help with, to all of you who are reaching out to somebody, reach out. Keep showing them the love of Jesus. Keep showing them that Jesus matters, that Jesus counts, that He's all worth it in the end. And let's together make a difference. Let's fill heaven together instead of letting hell be filled up. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to open this altar tonight. I don't know. I don't even know what the closing song is. What's the closing song? Passion for Thee. Could you just maybe do this? Could you just play quietly? Let's just do that. And here's what I want to do. I want to just say, okay, God, whatever's left of the life that I have, I just want it to be used for You. I don't know how You're going to do it, but I just want to be available. That's where it starts. This morning as I was preaching at a church, a man came up to me afterwards and he said, "Brother," he said, "there's something you said in your message this morning that has just grabbed a hold of me." I said, "Well, what was that?" And he said, and he told me a story, how he came to Christ, how he had a bad family, came to Christ, walked away from God for a while. That was all part of his journey. Had come back to God. Him and his wife had served in a church for 15 plus years. The church just went off the deep end. It split. It fell apart. They were hurting. They left. They said, "We'll never do anything in church ever again." They finally got involved in another church. And he said to his wife, "I'll go, but here's the thing. I'm not doing anything. I don't want anyone to know me. I don't want to have any responsibilities." And do you know how long he sat in that church and attended it? 14 years. He came, he sat on a pew, and he went home. And he said to me this morning, "I wasted 14 years of my life." Folks, I don't know how much time we have left. But if you want to come down, I'm just going to ask you to come, and we're just going to fill this front pew. We're going to pray together. Just no one bothering you. Just come down. "Lord, I don't know how much time I got left, but here I am. Lord, use me." If that's you this evening, then come on down. Come on down. Jesus. Father, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for how you at work in each of our lives. You've gifted all of us differently. None of us were cut from the exact same mold. Thank you for those dear saints who keep running the race, Lord, that I can look to. They haven't quit. They haven't given up. They're running this race. Use them, Father, for your glory. Lord, I pray for the younger ones in this congregation. God, raise up more missionaries. Raise up pastors. Raise up men and women that love the Lord, that love you, Lord, and love your word. Father, use Zach and his family. Father, and give them the strength they need to lead this precious congregation. Thank you for the godly heritage of Pastor Darrell over the years. Thank you for his love for the Word and how when he was able and ready to pass that baton on, God, you had already seen fit to raise up Zach from right within this congregation to keep running. Oh, God, bless him. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Thank you for your salvation and reaching family members. Oh, God, we just want to be able to be used by you. We're just going to say thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, folks, we don't need to sing now. There's no more you can add to that, right? Thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for just a tender heart. Thank you for your love for Jesus. And keep running. Keep running this race. Thank you, folks, for being here. Thank you.